What a joy to see you on this beautiful Sunday. Thank you for making River City your place of worship today. And for all of you that are guests with us, we want to encourage you to make yourself at home. Hopefully you have met a friendly face and have got to know somebody around you. And if you haven't had a chance yet, in the seat back pocket in front of you, there is a connection card. We'd really appreciate if you'd grab that connection card and put as much information as you're comfortable sharing with us. At the end of the service, you can take it back and either hand it to someone at the Next Steps booth who has a gift for you, or you can just drop it in the giving box, and we really would appreciate that. It helps us know how we can minister you if you have a prayer request, if you have a spiritual need, and so if you'll take advantage of that, we'd really, really, really appreciate you doing that. And again, welcome to River City Baptist Church. At the end of the service today, we have several baptisms. We're excited about that. We know we have some guests here for those baptisms. At the end of that, we have a really brief meeting for nursery workers. If you are in the nursery serving or would consider serving in our nursery, if you'll just hang around right after baptism, we're just going to come right back in here for a brief meeting on a very, very, very important ministry in the church. Somebody's got to take care of the babies, okay? And so that people can worship. And a lot of times, for some people, it might be the first time during the week they'll get a little break, come in here and get their kids in a safe and friendly, loving environment, and then be able to come here and worship and hear the Word of God without hindrance. And so if you would like to be a part of that, please stick around, and it'll be a brief meeting. Let's take our Bibles and go to Revelation 22. Now, doesn't that sound great? That means we're in the last chapter of the entire Bible. We're in the last chapter of this series. I'm going to do two messages on Revelation 22. So next Sunday will be our last sermon on the book of Revelation. It has been a journey. It has been exciting. And really what we're going to study today is a bit of an epilogue to the book. We kind of looked at the last real vision that John received last week on heaven. And when we come into Revelation 22... it is what we would call an epilogue. It's kind of a wrap, if you will. And in this, there's so much tremendous content that I wanted to slow down here at the end and finish the month of April in the book of Revelation. But I hope you've enjoyed this. If you have not been a part of this series, you can go back to our podcast and all the sermons on Sunday morning on audio podcast. And you can go back and listen. I think we started in August of last year working through these 22 chapters of the most intriguing book of the entire Bible, for sure. But what we've been doing is we've been reading it together. So I want to invite you to stand, and we are going to read out loud verses 1 through 17 for the message today. Our study will actually be verses 6 through 17, but as our custom has been, we've been reading the whole book of Revelation out loud together as a church, as Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3 encourages us to do. If you haven't had a chance to do the whole series, I would invite you to find a place by yourself and read this book out loud. Just read it. Read the Bible, but specifically read the book of Revelation, as there is a promise of blessing that God gives to those who read it and read it out loud and then choose to live out the words that it says. Let's look, if you will, beginning at verse 1. We're going to begin reading out loud together. We're going to go down to verse 17. Ready? Begin. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp or light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true." And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things.
And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren and prophets and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates of the city. But outside are dogs, sorcerers, and sexually immoral, and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Amen. This is God's word. I want to preach to you this morning on this subject, God's great invitation. God's grand invitation. This is the invitation of the ages. And God extends it to every single living soul. And I want to encourage you today to open up your heart and welcome Jesus at his invitation. Let's pray if we could. Lord Jesus, we come to you today. We're grateful for the word of God. We're grateful for the testimony of Jesus Christ. We're grateful that you unveiled the end of time before it ever happened. That you know history, both past, present, and future. Lord, you have told us what is coming, and you have given us an opportunity to choose. Do we want to live or do we want to die? Do we want to be in heaven or do we want to be in hell? Do we want to embrace you as the way, the truth, and the life, or reject you? Lord, give us wisdom, give us insight, and then for those that need you today, I pray you give them courage to step out, receive Jesus. Is our prayer in his holy and precious name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I don't play golf. And I watch golf less than I play golf. But for some reason, once a year, my attention gets arrested on 4 days of golf in Augusta, Georgia. I don't know why, but it is a fascinating golf tournament, the Masters. And what's even more fascinating than the Masters is how exclusive the Masters is, played at the Augusta National Golf Club, which is maybe even more exclusive than the tournament itself. I doubt there's anybody in this room who ever has or ever will even step on the greens at Augusta National Golf Club, let alone play around there. It is highly exclusive. To join the golf club, which only has a membership of 300 people at any given time, you must be personally invited to become a member. Membership only opens to Augusta National Golf Club when someone who is a either dies or discontinues their membership. It is estimated it is a $100,000 to $300,000 buy-in with annual costs exceeding $30,000. No wonder people like Warren Buffett and Bill Gates and Condoleezza Rice are the kind of people that are members there. To play the course is a whole nother situation. You have to either be invited to play by a member, and there's only 300 of those in the world. You have to be invited by a former or previous Masters champion. You have to become a member, which we've already learned is very difficult. Or you can be a volunteer for the Masters Golf Tournament, which, by the way, right now there's a waiting list to volunteer at the Masters Golf Tournament. And there's an appreciation golf day held in May for all those who volunteer. You can join Augusta University's golf team if you're good enough, because they get to play there once a year. Or, of course, you can be one of those people that get actually invited to play in the Masters Tournament, which is a whole nother thing. The Masters is called the Masters because truly they are the greatest and most current golf players in the world. In order to get an invitation to even play in the Masters Tournament, you have to be in the top 50 world rankings of professional golf, or you had to win, I think it was the previous, or any previous Masters Tournament champion is always invited back. Or if you didn't win the Masters, you could have just won the PGA Tour Championship, which gives you a 5-year invite window. It is a very exclusive invitation. Now, folks, listen, I'm here to tell you that I thank God today that heaven is not for the exclusive. It is for everyone. And verse 17 of our text, the climax of the text, gives the greatest invitation the world has ever seen. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Whoever hears, let him come. Anyone that is thirsty, let him come. Whoever desires, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God offers his salvation to every single breathing human. He says, come. In our text today from verses 6 to 17, 7 different times the word come or some form of the word come is used. This is what the Bible says not only in Revelation chapter 22, but really all throughout the Bible. It's extraordinary how many times God compels us to come. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isaiah chapter 55 says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, the king is going to answer those on his right hand, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. I want to tell you this morning, regardless of who you are, regardless of how churchy you might be, regardless of what you've done, who you are, what side of the tracks you grew up on, what is in your past, good, bad, or ugly, I'm telling you today, Jesus Christ is saying to you, come to me. Come to me today. I love you. I've died for you. I've shed blood for you. I've risen from the dead for you. And from the front cover to the back cover of the Bible, God has one message for you. Come. Come. So my challenge and question for you today is this. Will you come? Will you welcome Jesus Christ into your life? He is knocking on your door. Will you welcome him into the front door of your heart? And ask him by faith to be your Lord and Savior. Now, why is Jesus extending this invitation? I'm telling you, he's extending this invitation based upon everything that has been said in this book. Now, I told you before, this is the epilogue. It's kind of like almost stepping out of the prophecy. Remember, John receives this vision from an angel. The angel gets it from Christ. The angel brings it to John. He reveals the vision to John. And really, chapters 4 through 22 are a consecutive vision about what is going to happen in the future, from the rapture of the church to the tribulation period on the earth to the second coming of Jesus Christ, the battle of Armageddon, to the 1,000-year millennial reign, the final rebellion, and then ultimately heaven in the new earth and the new heaven and the new Jerusalem. Now, here's what God's saying to you today, no doubt. You've seen what I've said. You know how this is going to turn out. You know that one day this is all going to come true. Now, here's the question. Do you want to come with me? Do you want to be where I'm at? Do you want to follow my words? And folks, I want to tell you that this invitation that we read about in Revelation chapter 22, verses 6 through 17, has three compelling components to it. Notice number one, if you will. The invitation
is surely given. The invitation is surely given. Notice, if you will, verse 6 again. Then he said to me, the angel again, the words are faithful and true. The first thing that John does in this epilogue is the angel gives him a statement that says, I want you to just verify to everyone listening that these words come from me. These words are faithful and true. I love that on the front end of this epilogue. He says, this is faithful and this is true. And I just want to stop today and tell everybody that is listening to me that you can count on every word of God. Notice what he says here. He ties it into something. Look at middle verse six. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things that must shortly take place. John here is tying together the rest of Scripture and how it came to us to the book of Revelation. For instance, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21 say these words, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, but holy men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. There is one of the many testaments that teach us what the Bible is. What is the Bible? Simply put, the Bible is the Word of God. That's what it is. It's not the Word of man. He did use men as human instruments to write down the Bible, but the Bible is inspired of God. That means God literally gave his words to us to be recorded down and to be written. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Folks, I'm holding up a book here that is not a bunch of myths or fairy tales. I'm telling you today that this book that I'm holding up is the very Word of the living God. And you read this book, you're reading what God says to you. And if anything is true, in all my life, I will tell you, of all the things I know to be true, this one thing I know, God, who is true and righteous, gave a book that is true and righteous that you can count on. And if Genesis through Jude is inspired, listen, Revelation is inspired. It is a word from God. God could give no other word, could he? In fact, this phrase, faithful and true, is spoken of Jesus twice in the book of Revelation before we even get here. Revelation 3:14 says, these things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Notice chapter 19, I'll have to turn there, I'll read it to you. Chapter 19, verse 11, he who sat on him was called faithful and true. It's amazing how many times in this short section he reminds us that this message came from God. And if the message came from God, the message is altogether true. Look down just one more. Look at verse 16. As Jesus stamps his own personal approval on this book, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. Now notice how he stamps this, folks. I got to tell you, this is the second to last time Jesus speaks in the Bible. Verse number 16. If you got a red letter Bible, mine's actually blue, it's kind of unique, but if you got a red letter Bible, you can see right there that Jesus is going to speak multiple times in this chapter. This is the next to last thing Jesus says in the Bible. Here's what he says. I am testifying that these things are true. Here's who I am. I am the root and the offspring of David. I am the one who was before David, and I am the one from whom David came. Look again, he says this, I am the bright and morning star. Y'all probably didn't even catch what I was just trying to dish out there, so let me run that one back just for a second here. He says, I am the root and the offspring of David. Now, if the Pharisees in the Bible would have understood this, they may have figured it all out. Remember over in Matthew chapter 22, verse 42, when Jesus is in one of those conversations with the Pharisees, and Jesus, boy, he throws them a question that they have a hard time answering. Who is Messiah? The Pharisees answer, he's the son of David. Jesus answers, well, how is he his son whenever David calls him Lord? Quoting Psalm 110. How could Jesus be the son of David and the Lord of David at the same time? I'll tell you how. He's the son of the living God, folks, that's how. He existed before David. That's how David is his son. That's how he is his Lord. You understand today that the Lord Jesus Christ had no beginning. He has no ending. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. Or I say it like this. He has no predecessors. He will have no successors. There may be an election in 2024 for who's going to be the president of this country, but there is no election for who's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That position is, has been, and always will be fulfilled. So he's David's Lord because he's God. But he's David's son because 2,000 years ago, the God of the universe came to this earth and took upon himself human flesh to fulfill the prophecy to David that there would always be somebody who would rule on the throne of David. So he's the offspring of David and he's the Lord of David. He's the root of David and he is his son. And then look at this here. He's the bright and morning star. Now, folks, that is a prophecy from Numbers chapter 24 in the middle of one of the worst books in all the Bible when Israel had just rebelled against God yet again. They have now, just 10 chapters prior to this, they have come up to Kadesh Barnea. They've sinned against God. They've rebelled against God. And God told them, 40 years, you're going to wander around in the wilderness. Now, all of a sudden, people are dropping dead around them like flies. In the middle of that, one of the great prophecies, Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, comes of the Lord Jesus, that there's going to come a king from Judah, and he is going to be a star. He's going to be a star. What is that? The star is hope. Did you know the name Esther in the Old Testament means star? And just like Esther was brought into the scene to give hope to a nation that was going to die, the Lord Jesus Christ is the star of David in the truest sense of the word. He is the only hope we've got. He's our star. Now, folks, I'm here to tell you, you might want to back this one up and listen to it later if it didn't catch everything I was throwing out there to you a few minutes ago. But let me assure you in summary, Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the only hope of eternal life that anybody in this room has. Only Jesus. And so this word, this invitation is, first of all, surely given because it came from Jesus. Number two, I want you to see this, that this invitation is quickly fading. The second and most prominent feature of this text is about how many times the Lord Jesus talks about him coming quickly. Look at verse 7. Behold, I am coming quickly. Look at verse 12. Behold, I am coming quickly. And my reward is with me. Look at verse 20, the very last words of Jesus in the Bible. Surely, I am coming quickly. Can I say this to you today? The most natural reading of the Bible, its most plain understanding, would teach you this. Jesus Christ's coming is imminent. That means it could happen at any moment. Matthew describes it this way. There'll be a day when two women are working in the kitchen and one will be taken and one will be left. He goes on to say this, two men will be working in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Or Paul says it like this in 1 Thessalonians, he's going to come as a thief in the night when you least expect it. The Bible describes us like a wedding party with women that had candles that needed to be prepared to be lit. And when the bridegroom came, some of them did not have their lamps ready to be burned. They were left behind. Folks, did you know in the first century, literally the men and women that lived during the time of Jesus and right after the time of Jesus believed that Jesus could come at any moment? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 says this, we are waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says this, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly await our Savior. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, we wait for his son from heaven. How about Titus 2, verse 13? We are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. They were waiting for him. They were watching for him. They believed that he could come at any time. And so John goes on to say this. Look at verse 10. He says, this message, because of the imminence of Jesus, this message is intended to be distributed. Look at verse 10 here. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book,
for the time is at hand. Now, if you're a Bible student, you might look at that and mark back in Daniel chapter 7, or maybe it was chapter 9. Either Daniel 7 or Daniel 9, Daniel receives a very similar prophecy, but he's told to seal the message because the time is not at hand. What did that mean? To seal or unseal the message means to make the message available. So when God says in Daniel 7, seal the message up, the time's not here yet. But in Revelation 22, he says, do not seal the message. Do not conceal the message. Do not hide the message. Do not roll the message up and tuck it away. No. Keep the message unsealed. Keep the message available. You know what God's telling us today, folks? This message of Jesus coming again, this message of the future of all things, is a message that is to be proclaimed by those who know the gospel of Jesus Christ. My son Blake got saved about a week ago, and Blake's getting one of those that are getting baptized today. It was so cute and so raw and real to watch him instantaneously want to tell everybody he knew about the fact that he now knows Jesus. I mean, it was some of you. It was at church last week. It was at kids' class on Wednesday night. I think he made a public announcement in his first grade class at school that he had, in fact, accepted Jesus, because they all know and everybody knows. I love that. You know why? Because I think it's born in the heart of every person when they come to Christ that they want other people to know about Christ. Folks, for some of us, we have kept the scroll sealed for far too long. It's about time to unloose that seal and open that scroll of God's testament and your testimony and share that Christ is coming away. Why? Because this message has an expiration date. Look at verse 11. Watch this. This is the most intriguing verse in this entire passage. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And what it almost sounds like a contradiction. Don't open up the scroll, but open the scroll. But if you're going to be filthy, continue in that. If you're going to be unjust, continue in that. If you're a righteous, continue in that. What's he saying there? He's saying there will come a time when your decision to either follow Jesus or not follow Jesus will be settled forever. Now, I want you to imagine that. I want you to imagine that people in this room right here, some of you have been coming and listening to the book of Revelation for a long time. I just want you to think about this. I just want you to think about coming face to face with authentic, prophetic vision from God that is telling you the certainty of what is coming, and to think that there are some people in this room that have heard it and you are still not saved. Or how about just this message? Let's just start with what we know just from this message. Jesus is real. He's the only Savior. He is coming again without warning. I mean, folks, listen. Some of us are so literally in a spiritual coma that we just think we can waltz in and out of church and breathe air every day, wake up and go to bed with no real thought of what's coming. I'm telling you, He is coming soon. Your opportunity to receive Jesus Christ has a time limit on it. And if you can walk out of here and just act like nothing happened and go hit Cracker Barrel, whatever you do, and roll on and not give serious consideration to your soul, one day you're going to hear this for the last time. And my prayer is that you won't let it go by without accepting Jesus. I don't know if you guys shop at places like Old Navy. Old Navy, I like Old Navy. And they got these, every time you shop at Old Navy, I can't remember what they call it. Some of y'all might help me. They give you this little certificate. And I think at Kohl's, it's called Kohl's Cash. I know some of y'all, I ain't going to say what I was getting ready to say. What I was getting ready to say was not going to go over well, so I'm just going to retract that before I said it. But they give you that, and it's a real good catch, because they don't let you use it right then, right? They say, this is $50 of Old Navy cash or whatever it's called. You can use it between, you know, May 1st and May 15th. Now, is there anybody else out there willing to admit, like me, that you had every intention of going back picking up a couple shirts and picking up a couple pair of shorts for the summer, only to realize that that window of opportunity closed. How many of you like that? Anybody like that? See, I'm not alone. A bunch of us wasted a lot of opportunity. Hey, it's one thing to miss $50 from Old Navy. It's quite another thing to miss heaven because you're not serious about God's invitation. So the invitation is surely given. The invitation is quickly fading. Finally, I want you to see this. The invitation is freely offered. The hard thing about anybody that would leave this room today and spend eternity separated from God is absolutely awful because look at what he says in verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Who's that? Well, the Spirit is, of course, the Holy Spirit. Who's the bride? What a challenge, folks. Listen, do you want to know who besides God is supposed to be issuing invitations? You. The Spirit and the bride say, come. There's probably somebody sitting in this room today, and somebody's tried to urge you maybe to come to church for some time. You had somebody love you enough to say what? Come. Come. And as long as I've got breath in these lungs every Sunday morning, I'm going to stand up here and say, come. Church, it is our job to compel people to come. And as we compel people to come, no doubt the Spirit speaks on the inside while we talk on the outside and people come. This room right now is filled with people who somebody said, come. I look at Kim down here. I remember the first time Kim walked into our church and she walked in with Priscilla Timblin, who was moving out of town. Judy was there as well. And what did she say? Come, you got to see. You got to hear. You got to listen. And then Dave came. And then others come. And Bonnie, other people have come. Why? Because somebody said, come. People don't just accidentally come to church. People don't just accidentally get saved. It's because the Spirit draws and the bride says, come. Then he says this, whoever will. Friend, I want you to see yourself right now curled up in a ball inside the letter O of whosoever and find rest in this. Whosoever means you. Whosoever, plug your name in there. Anybody that will come to Jesus can come. It is an equal opportunity salvation. Anybody that wants Jesus can have him. Anybody that believes in Jesus can have him. Let me ask you a question. Are you thirsty today? There may be somebody in this room, you have tried everything in your life to fill a void that can only be filled by God. Have you ever wondered how that works? Ecclesiastes says God put eternity in their hearts. So you can try anything you want to today, friend. You can try anything. You might be a young person in this room, and maybe you've been trying to just be accepted by anybody and everybody. And you'll do anything and everything that you can possibly do to fit in. The only problem is when you fit in, it's not going to be enough. And maybe you've experimented with drugs and alcohol and any other kind of substance that will cause you to maybe escape or feel good or have fun. And guess what you find out? Why is it like Proverbs says the next morning, you got to run right back to it? It doesn't satisfy. There are people in this room, you'll try relationships. People have tried sexual relationships. People have tried marital relationships and burned through all the above quickly with speed. And the next one's going to be the right one. And the next person's going to be it. And the next girl and the next guy and the next night of fun. All that. No, friend, you're going to go back and back and back and back. There are people in this room that think it's money. They think it's homes. They think it's cars. They think it's status. They think it's being well. They think whatever you think it is, why do you keep having to go back to that well? Why do you keep having to drop your bucket into a well that only has a dusty bottom? This is exactly what Jesus said to the woman at the well when he said, you're not married, and the other five men that you were with, you've burned through those relationships too. And then he looked at her and said this, why don't you come and get a drink of everlasting water? You've done tried everything, it's not working. So let me encourage you today. If you're thirsty, why don't you just come to Jesus?
Why don't you just open up your heart to Him? Because you're going to find that He alone will bring the satisfaction you're looking for. And I just want to urge you to not leave this offer on the table. You know, it's amazing, every year, out of convenience, we buy and receive gift cards. I like gift cards. Because the gift card says, I love you, I know what you like, go pick it out yourself. I like it. Hey, don't even try. Oh, I think Pastor would like this shirt. I think, no. I probably won't. I'm just going to tell you. I probably won't. Then I'm going to have to do this whole thing. I'm going to have to trade it. Then I'm going to have to act like you. I like it. I'll tell you how great it is, or you're going to be mad. Just give me a gift card. It's great. I love it. Chipotle really works, actually. I mean, I don't even need shirts or, you know, whatever. Chipotle's great. But did you know this year, the average amount of unused gift cards from last Christmas is $187 per gift card, per recipient. 47% of American adults to date have unused balances on gift cards from Christmas. Do you want to know how much money that is? $23 billion. I started doing a quick count this week. I was like, yep, there's $4.08. There's $17.23. Oh, yeah, there's a coffee one. That's 20 bucks. That's great. I myself had like 50, and that's just the ones I found. They get you too, right? You get down to $4.07, and it's like, oh, it didn't work. No, put in $4.07. That's how you end up with this billions of. Can you imagine that? Collectively, we have laid aside billions of dollars in gifts. What a win for the company. What a loss for us. Folks, I'm here to tell you something far greater than a gift card to your favorite restaurant is here. It is a gift card to heaven signed by Jesus, and the amount is unlimited because the price was infinite. And Isaiah 55 says this, ho, everyone that is thirsty, let him come. Without price, without money, let him come. You can't come trying to buy salvation or earn salvation. The only way you can come to Jesus is to receive salvation. Now I'm going to ask you one question and I'm done. Have you received that gift? If not, please, please, would you do that today? Let's bow for prayer, if you would. If you're here for baptism, if you would, go ahead and make your way out to the facilities to be changed. We'll meet them outside in just a moment. Thank God for them. The worship team's going to come. We're going to sing together. As we close our time, we still got lots of exciting things going today. But today, I want to give you the opportunity to be saved. If you have never done that before, I mean, if you are here today and you do not know for certain, I didn't say maybe, I didn't say wish or hope, do you know for certain, 100%, that you're going to heaven when you die? Do you know that? If you do not, will you please allow me to help you walk through how you can know? The Bible's very clear. If you will call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. If you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you'll be saved. It's a promise. It means, saved means rescued. Saved means forgiven. Saved means forever.
And today, if you do not know that your sins are forgiven, if you do not know that heaven is your home, and you do not know that Jesus is your Lord and that you're going to be with him forever, I'm going to invite you right now to do what the Bible says. Obey the gospel. Believe on Jesus and call on his name. Would you do that right now? I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that right now. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You can pray your own prayer. I can't save you. Nothing that I say saves anybody. But if you will sincerely, from your heart, ask Jesus to be your Savior today, he promises at that moment to forgive you, make you his child, and take you ultimately to heaven one day when you die. If that's you and you want that right now, and you're willing to accept Jesus and believe in him, then I'm going to invite you right now in the quietness of your seat, either pray in your heart or pray out loud. It's all good here. Would you pray these words straight from your heart to God's? Dear Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I know I cannot get to heaven on my own. But I believe in Jesus. I believe he died and rose again. Today I accept him as my only Lord and Savior. Thank you for loving me. Help me to never be ashamed of you. Now, friend, listen. If you just prayed that prayer and you meant it in your heart and you are glad that you did, I want to be the first person to welcome you to the family of God and say you just made the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. And I'd just like to know who you are so I can pray for you and help you know how to take the next steps in your Christian journey. Is there anybody here to say, preacher, pray for me. I just accepted Jesus into my life and I'm so excited. I'm so thankful that I did. I just prayed that prayer. I meant it and I am glad that I did. If that's you, would you just let me know who you are by just slipping up your hand? Just high enough that I could see it. I'm not going to embarrass you or call you out in any way, but if you prayed that prayer and you meant it and you are glad that you did, just hold your hand up and then lower it right back down. For any of you that made that decision, would you look up here real quick? For any of you that did, just everybody lift up your eyes. Everybody lift up your eyes. Look at me real quick. This connection card is a good way for you to communicate with us. If you prayed that prayer and accepted Jesus, just let us know. We want to help you. Just put your name and a phone number down and just mark salvation. That'll let me know that you prayed that prayer and you meant it, and we want to help you. If you'll just take this back to the Next Steps booth, they've got a Bible for you and a gift for you. Or if you want to drop it in the giving box, we will reach out to you this week and help you. We rejoice that you're here. We rejoice that Jesus saves. And we are asking you to let us help you in any way we can. Let's stand, if we could, for a closing worship song.